22. At 11:30, they got back to Fausto's office. At 11:31, the phone buzzed. Fausto snatched up the receiver and listened.
Okay, thanks.
He reached for another button, then paused.
It's De La Garza. How well do you know this guy?
A little. We run into each other in meetings.
He remembered Esteban De La Garza as a courtly, elderly archaeologist with a lean, pockmarked, deeply lined face. Like Ivan Gunderson, he struck Gideon as a throwback, but Gunderson had been late 19th century. De La Garza was more early 18th. He would have looked right at home in a wig and knee breeches, serving as royal schoolmaster to the court of Philip VI. His patrician manner put off some of the freer spirits who attended the anthropology conferences, but Gideon had always liked him. But then, Gideon liked just about everybody, a personality flaw that he couldn't seem to overcome, despite its having backfired on him many times more than once.
How's his English?
Fine, perfect, better than mine, prettier anyway.
It was true. Esteban spoke English as if he were translating directly from the Spanish. He eschewed such rude English shortcuts as contractions and apostrophized possessives. For him, there were no its or wouldn'ts or don'ts, and the fossil's bones and Dr. X's hypothesis came out as the bones of the fossil and the hypothesis of Dr. X. His ornate, measured speech was a pleasure to listen to, Gideon thought, always assuming one had the time to spare.
Good. You talk to him, then.
He held out the telephone.
Me? What do you want me to say?
You know, see if he knows what Sheila Chan was calling about. He'll be more open with you. Besides, it might get too technical for me.
I'll listen in. Go ahead,
he said impatiently, shaking the phone in front of Gideon's face when he hesitated.
Come on, come on.
Gideon shrugged and took it. Fausto punched the button. He kept a second cordless receiver to his ear.
Esteban? Gideon said.
Esteban's deep, sober voice sounded in his ear.
Si, señor, dígame.
Cautious, wary. But then he was returning a totally unexpected call from police headquarters. Why wouldn't he be?
Esteban, this is Gideon Oliver. It's nice to talk to you.
This took a few seconds to sink in. More than a few seconds. De La Garza's quickness of mind did not quite match his impressive gravitas. Then at last,
you are in Gibraltar.
Right, I'm here for the Paleo Society meetings.
Yes, but is this not... I was under the impression that I was calling the police station.
You are. I'm sitting here with the detective chief inspector Sotomayor. He's on the line, too, and we're trying to get some information on a woman named Sheila Chan.
Sheila Chan, he considered. This is the young woman who was working on a dissertation about bone disease and early modern Homo sapiens, is it not?
Yes, you do know her, then?
I do. For some time I have not heard from her. Is she all right? Is there something wrong?
Well, yes. She's dead. She's been dead since 2005.
Ah, that would explain why I have not heard from her.
From anyone else it would have been a somewhat lame attempt at humor, but from De La Garza, who knew? On the other side of the table, Fausto rolled his eyes and mouthed a single syllable. Duh.
Yes, she was killed in a landslide here in Gibraltar.
I regret extremely to hear it.
But there are some questions about her death.
Questions? Do you mean in the sense that there are suspicious circumstances? This is why the police are involved?
That's right. She may have been murdered.
Esteban digested this.
How can that be? Did you not say she died in a landslide?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. One of the questions has to do with a couple of phone calls she placed from her hotel the day she died. Apparently, they were to you.
To me? Two calls? Are you certain of this?
Well, to your office. She called twice, an hour or so apart. This would have been in 2005.
Ah, wait, yes, I remember that. But it was only once that we spoke. I was not in the office when first she called. Thus, she left a message with my secretary.
Fausto nodded at Gideon across the table. That sounded right. The first call had lasted only 1 minute. The second was 11 minutes long. Those were probably the last two calls she ever made, Esteban. So you can see why they'd be of interest.
Oh, yes, certainly I do see. And the police inspector would like to know the nature of her call.
Exactly.
De la Garza meditated for a while.
Well, my friend, the fact is I cannot tell you in honesty that I recollect the content, but I would have to assume it had to do with some assistance I was providing on her dissertation. I can think of no other reason. We had no other, relationship.
So, De la Garza had been helping her too. That seemed strange. Sheila had been researching skeletal disease among late Pleistocene humans. It had made sense that she would turn to Gideon, a physical anthropologist, for help. But why would she have gone to an archaeologist?
How exactly were you helping her, Esteban?
He held his breath. He had an inkling of what the answer was going to be.
In only the most minor way. I had earlier let her borrow a late Pleistocene bone that exhibited one of the diseases that were the subject of her investigations.
Ah, he was right. In one of Sheila's emails to Gideon, she had mentioned coming across such a find in Spain. This, the mysterious T10, had to be it. His fingers found the vertebra, which he'd brought to Fausto's office, and now lay on the desk.
And did you ever get it back?
Back? Why, I believe not. Now that you mention it.
Was it a vertebra by any chance?
Why, yes, it was. Why do you ask? How do you know this?
Because I'm pretty sure I have it in my hand right now. Esteban, this vertebra, where was it from?
It was part of our teaching collection here in Algeciras. We retain a small collection of bones and artifacts for didactic purposes. They come from some of the sites, the ones of little significance, that our department has excavated over the years. This particular vertebra. Gideon, may I be permitted to know why this is of concern to the police? I do not understand the connection to Sheila's death.
Bear with me a little longer, Esteban. Do you remember where it came from originally? I mean, where it was found?
It was from a site in the province of Sevilla, about 200 kilometers north of us, AN-34. It is known by no other name, a small excavation of no significance that I conducted as a summer field exercise for my students. The land was given to the university for that purpose expressly. You would not be familiar with it. There was little reason to include it in the archaeological literature.
He was sounding a little defensive now. I understand, Gideon said. The literature is pretty cluttered up as it is. Go ahead, please. Can you tell me anything else?
There is little more to tell. AN-34 was not even a site in the usual sense.
That is, it was not a habitation or campsite or burial site, although, of course, at first we had hopes that it might be. But no, it was merely a place where a woman, a lone woman, had once died, nothing more. A few pitiful bones, mostly fragmentary, embedded in the wall of an arroyo. Our work consisted of little more than digging them out and gathering them up. They had been water-disturbed, you see, and somewhat scattered by animals, and there had been some earlier, rather amateurish attempts at excavation, so that more sophisticated, advanced archaeological techniques would have been...
Esteban, when did you do this dig?
I believe it would have been in the summer of 2001. Yes, 2001. I remember because it took but 1 month, so I was able to spend half of July in Croatia at a most interesting consortium.
Fausto was looking at Gideon with a questioning, perplexed frown, but Gideon was as baffled as he was.
How could De La Garza have excavated part of Gibraltar woman's skeleton in Spain in 2001, a full year before she was uncovered at the Europa Point excavation in Gibraltar?
Esteban, let me ask you, were you right there when those bones, this bone, was excavated? I mean, did you yourself see it come out of the dirt?
I did, indeed.
The vertebrae, being more fragile than the long bones, were excavated under my direct supervision.
But why do you ask me this question? These questions?
Understandably, he was becoming perturbed.
Hold on a second, Esteban. Give me a minute.
Gideon put his hand over the mouthpiece.
Fausto, I have to see those bones. Algeciras is that town right across the bay, isn't it? How long would it take me to get there?
An hour or so, if there's no hold-up at the border. Hell, you want to go? I'll drive you myself. That'll take care of any border hassle.
Great. Gideon put the telephone back to his ear.
Esteban, I would really love to see the rest of those bones, the woman they came from. If I showed up there in an hour, could you show them to me?
Today, do you mean? I would be delighted, of course, but I fear it would be somewhat awkward. I'm scheduled to confer with...
Fausto cut in.
Professor De La Garza, this is Detective Chief Inspector Sotomayor. This is a murder investigation. We'd appreciate your cooperation.
They heard him swallow.
Certainly, Chief Inspector, he said with his usual dignity after a few seconds.
1 hour. Are you familiar with the location of the Escuela Politécnica Superior?
We'll find it, Fausto said.
Come to the main building. I shall be in room 203.
With the bones, Gideon said.
With the bones, Esteban agreed.
Of course.
As Fausto had promised, their progress through the border crossing was smooth. His known face earned them a way through to the express lane, along with a few extra poisonous stares at the Lamborghini from the less fortunate, stalled in a quarter-mile-long line that extended all the way back to the airport runway.
The Spanish love to screw with us coming through, he said without rancor, as they picked up speed on the A7,
the Spanish highway that would take them around the Bay of Gibraltar, officially the Bahía de Algeciras, now that they had crossed the border, and into the city.
We do the same to them coming the other way, been like that ever since Franco.
Tradition, Gideon said. I love it.
They drove for a while in silence, through flat, dry countryside, punctuated by occasional riverine marshes, small industrial complexes, and nondescript little working-class villages. As they rounded the bay and drew closer to the sizable industrial port city of Algeciras itself, Gideon realized that the richly colored sunsets they'd seen over it from their hotel terrace
had been the result of the tons of smog particles hanging in the air above it, like the glorious smog-generated sunsets over Los Angeles. But in the daytime, Algeciras, like L.A., was shrouded in heavy brown haze, a depressing place into which to be headed. As anticipated, Fausto drove like the sports car nut he was, at anywhere between 90 and 110 miles an hour, depending on what the traffic would allow. It took a while, but eventually Gideon stopped grinding his teeth and propping his arms against the dashboard every time they began to overtake another car. If they hadn't crashed or spun off the road yet, he figured, maybe Fausto knew what he was doing, and they'd both get out of this alive.
Listen, Fausto said, let me try to get this straight. I'm confused.
That makes two of us, believe me.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. What we're dealing with is two vertebrae that were, what do you call them, next to each other, one on top of the other.
Adjacent, right.
Gideon had them in his hands now, probing them yet again with his eyes and fingers, hunting for anything he might have missed, anything he might have gotten wrong.
The top one is a cast, the bottom one is a real vertebra, Gideon nodded. And they fit perfectly into each other.
Perfectly, Gideon agreed.
Which means they had to have been from the same person.
Right.
Gibraltar woman.
Gibraltar woman.
I know the top one is, and therefore the bottom one.
God!
He braced himself instinctively against the back of his seat, as Fausto, traveling at 95, happily threaded the frighteningly small opening between a heavy, smoke-belching truck with a load of asphalt shingles on the left, and a Fiat with a startled, petrified driver on the right. In a couple of seconds, truck and Fiat were left far behind, although in the side mirror, Gideon could see the truck driver's arm out the window, vigorously giving them the finger. He closed his eyes. That had been the closest one yet. He wondered vaguely if he might be able to come up with a way to take the bus back to Gibraltar when it was time to return.
Therefore, the bottom one is two, he finished when his breath returned.
Okay, Fausto said. So they're definitely from the same person. That's what I thought. But he says he dug up the skeleton that the bottom one came from 6 years ago, up north in Sevilla province. And it's been sitting in Algeciras ever since.
Yes, he does.
And you say the top one is a cast made from the skeleton of Gibraltar woman, which was dug up 5 years ago in Gibraltar.
Yes, I do.
Well, how much sense does that make? Fausto demanded.
You can't both be right.
Gideon sighed.
No, it wouldn't seem so, would it?
What do you mean, seem so? She couldn't be...
Fausto, please, Gideon pleaded. Keep your eyes on the road, will you? You can talk without looking at me.
She couldn't have been buried in both places, could she? Fausto persisted.
You wouldn't think so, no.
Look, no offense, Gideon, but isn't it at least possible they're not from the same person? I mean, look, nobody's perfect. Admit it, you could be wrong about this, couldn't you?
Gideon shrugged.
Sure, I suppose I could, Fausto.
Like hell he could.